Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. Joining us now are Gurinder Singh Mann and Ami Shah. Gurinder Singh Mann is a professor of Sikh studies and the director of the Center for Sikh and Punjab Studies at the University of California, Santa Barbara. He's the chair of the Journal of Punjab Studies and author of Buddhists, Hindus, and Sikhs in America, A Short History. And also joining us is Ami Shah, is an expert on medieval and modern Sikh literature. She is a visiting scholar at the University of California, Santa Barbara, and has taught at Rutgers University. Welcome to Background Briefing, Gurinder Singh Mann and Ami Shah.
Thank you.
And let me start with Gurinder Singh Mann. The Sikh religion is basically, you have written that it lays an emphasis on a life of hard work, social commitment, and ethical living. And it's a complex set of doctrinal, historical, and sociological reasons make them a very political people. And they've kept up that heritage in both the Punjab and the lands of their origin and wherever they have migrated in the past century. That's not to say that because they're a political people, they are subject to the kind of random violence that took place in Wisconsin, surely.
Surely not. But what that is to say is that they are very involved in the society wherever they are, so they participate in it at all levels. It's a sort of thriving community with institutional bases scattered all over the country.
And the Sikh word means seeker of truth, I believe. And the first word in the Sikh scriptures is sat, which translates to truth. And Sikhism, I believe, is based on truthful living, and it's a monotheistic religion with one creator whose name translates as Wonderful Enlightener. But I guess in terms of the political aspects of it, Sikhs believe in sharing what they earn with others in need. Is that right?
That's true. So they are a monotheistic tradition, but they're very involved in life. So in a way, the way God runs the world, society should follow that model, and it should be based on social justice and meeting the needs of all.
And Ami Shah, this is the world's fifth largest religion, but a very new religion, comparatively speaking, right? It was founded in 1469. That's before Columbus discovered the New World.
Yes. Guru Nanak lived in the 15th and 16th centuries. Around the turn of the 16th century, he founded a new community that he gathered together in a town he had established. And for the next 200 years, the tradition was watched over by a line of 10 gurus who participated and expressed God's revelation to their devotees.
So in contemporary terms, Gurinder Singh Mann, Sikh, of course, the Prime Minister of India, Manmohan Singh, is a Sikh, along with the Army Chief of Staff, Bikram Singh. There's quite a military tradition. There's a Sikh regiment that the British organized that still exists today in the Indian Army, and coming from the province of Punjab, that's the breadbasket of India, is it not?
That's true. Punjab is the breadbasket of India. It sort of covers 2% of the total land under cultivation, while contributes 60% of wheat and rice to the national pool. And the Sikhs, as you said, they have a tradition of army that goes back to the 18th century. And they contributed a lot in the First World War and the Second World War.
So
part of the British Imperial Army.
But essentially, in terms of the American diaspora, it's an agricultural community, is it not?
It started as an agricultural community in California, but now I would say that there's wide array of professions which they follow. There are business people on the East Coast. The gas stations are closely associated with the Sikh community. And, you know, they are in professions, the universities, and medicine, and so on.
Well, of course, the attack on the temple in Wisconsin appears to be perpetrated by a white racist who I think is equally, as much as he's a racist, he's also an ignoramus, I think. And I don't know the extent to which he's been influenced by anti-Muslim propaganda, but there's quite a bit of it going on, both in Fox News and even in the United States Congress. People like Michelle Bachmann are accusing the Secretary of State's principal aide of being an agent of the Muslim Brotherhood. So anti-Muslim bigotry is alive and well since 9/11, but of course it is so ludicrously misplaced in targeting Sikhs. Amit Shah, I mean, the whole point of the Sikh religion was that it wanted to find a way out of both Hinduism and Islam. Isn't that what the founding principle was?
Right. Sikhism really is not, it's often described as an offshoot of Hinduism or some kind of synthesis between Hinduism and Islam, but that's not really accurate. The Sikh is founded very intentionally by Guru Nanak in the 16th century. And really as a distinctive sort of path that is separate from existing Hindu and Muslim communities, you know, with a distinctive set of distinctive kind of founding structure, institutions, and rituals, and an identity that is very distinct.
Well, let me ask Gurinder Singh Mann about some of the incidents of violence against Sikhs in the United States by ignorant racists who have mistaken them for Muslims. One happened, I think, only a few days after 9/11 in Arizona. A gas station owner, Balbir Singh Sodhi, was shot 5 times and killed by a man who mistook him for a Muslim. And then there was the case in 2004 of Rajinder Singh Khalsa and his cousin, who were beaten while walking to a restaurant in New York. Again, they were assaulted because of their turbans and were subjected to racist anti-Muslim diatribes. Then in 2008, Baljit Singh, 63, suffered a broken jaw and nose, received a beating while walking to a temple in Jamaica, New York, and a man who did it was cursing him as an Arab. And then in 2010, Harbhajan Singh suffered spinal and facial fractures. He was a taxi driver, and when he was attacked in Sacramento by a passenger who shouted anti-Muslim racial epithets at him. And then in March of 2011, 2 Sikh men were shot while taking an afternoon walk in Elk Grove, California, and one died at the scene and one died later. So that's just an example, but I take it there's a lot more incidents of this than the ones that I've just listed?
Well, that's hard to say. I mean, nobody has. I mean, you know, there are some sites which have tried to catalog these incidents, but the ones which you have cited are the ones which are sort of known within the community.
Well, but that's got to make you feel fairly nervous, doesn't it? I mean, how much do you and members of your community feel they have to look over their shoulders? Or how much do you experience the kind of looks of disdain that would be associated with that kind of racism?
From my point of view, the story here is complicated. You know, I think in situations like this, the looks of disdain sometimes become more prominent. And I would say that I have sort of seen many more looks of affection, too. I mean, I still remember, you know, somewhere in September 20th or 23rd when the flights have just begun, I flew to Boston to attend some major event there. And I think more people were trying to make me feel comfortable as well as make themselves feel comfortable by looking at me or at least, you know, trying to say, okay, so you are absolutely right, there are looks of disdain, but then simultaneously, I think one also needs to take into consideration that there are many more looks of affection and making an effort that, yes, we know you are uncomfortable because of your turban and the way you look.
So
we are willing to give you that, you know, that sort of comfort level. It's okay that we are all in the same plane.
And Amishar, what have you experienced personally since 9/11 in terms of outward signs of prejudice?
Well, I'm actually not a Sikh American, and so I face these issues. But I think there's always a distinction to be made here, too, even in the Sikh community, between what turbaned Sikh men will face versus even non-turbaned Sikh men. There'll be a different reaction. And in general, with women, Sikh women do not wear a hijab or any kind of obvious religious coverings. And so apart from their long hair that's often put in a braid or a bun, and their, occasional, Indian dress, women don't face, in general, the same kinds of racial profiling or kind of just surveillance that, say, a Sikh turbaned male would face.
But it seems to me that the distinction that Gurinder just made between looks of disdain and looks of affection, you could categorize that, the difference between educated people and ignorant people. I don't mean to be too blunt, but isn't that it?
Yes, no, as well. And that's where education plays a big role here at UC Santa Barbara. Professor Mon teaches a class on the Sikh tradition, Introduction to the Sikh Tradition, which just has about 200 students every year. And so, and there are other programs in the University of California system and at Columbia and Rutgers, different universities. Classes on Sikhism have been taught and have been included in the curricula of religious studies departments. And that has made a very big difference.
And Gurinder Singh Mann, what is your sense of how the education process is proceeding in the United States? Obviously, this horrible tragedy that's taken place has got to be yet another wake-up call for the American people, although one wonders, there was just a bunch of people killed in a theater recently in Colorado. It's difficult to know when we'll wake up to the problem with easy accessibility to guns, but at least in the case of the Sikh religion, do you think there's going to be a little, some more education coming out of this tragedy?
I hope so, but you see that the very fact that you sort of pulled us up is a sort of step in the right direction. And the fact that you will be giving this interview, more people would hear about it, these issues would come up, and that would help. And as Dr. Shah was referring to, there are programs in various universities where the effort is being made to introduce the Sikhs as a distinct tradition and, introduce these beliefs. If, for instance, at Santa Barbara, I would say that definitely more than 10,000 people have taken the courses I offer on the Sikhs. So they have visited the Gurdwara in Ventura. So they have some, they have better sense of who the people are, their beliefs are, their history in the U.S., and that would make the change. But these are steps in the right direction. And the universities are trying that. The university presses are trying that by publishing materials on the Sikhs. So efforts are being made, but they would take time. And I would underline that the Sikhs are 350,000 in this country. So given that small number, it will take time, but we need to be doing it because that's where our collective liberation lies. We need to know about smaller as well as bigger segments of the society so that people can function effectively and ignorance doesn't come into the picture. I may have a turban, I may have long hair, but that doesn't really mean that I can't be an American or I don't think like the way an American does.
Well, just in closing, let me ask Amishar first. What are you hearing from abroad in terms of, given that the Indian Prime Minister is a Sikh, I imagine there's some disconcerting comments must be coming from abroad, surely.
Well, there's some disconcerting comments. There's been a spate of violence against Indians living abroad in general in the last few months in Australia and different Commonwealth countries. And so there's been a kind of concern for the well-being of immigrants living abroad, especially, those who who are the subject of these kinds of hate crimes. But then at the same time, the Indian government, you know, people abroad in India are surely worried, but at the same time, it must also bring up memories of the Indian government's own problematic relationship with the Sikhs through the political insurgency and turmoil of the 1980s and 1990s in the Punjab. So there's concern and probably also an opportunity for introspection on the part of the Indian government.
And just in closing, Gurinder Singh Mann, what are you hearing from abroad?
It would be pretty much on the same lines. Those people are disturbed. They are worried because, you know, most of the Sikhs, say, for instance, in this case, they're first-generation immigrants. So their brothers and sisters and some parts of their families are still there. So it'll be what would happen, you know, and there'll be anxiety in general as to what is going on and, you know, those concerns which you always have in situations like that come up.
Well, I thank both of you for joining us here today, Gurinder Singh Mann and Amish Shah.
Thank you.
And again, I've been speaking with Gurinder Singh Mann, who's a professor of Sikh Studies and the director of the Center for Sikh and Punjab Studies at the University of California, Santa Barbara. He is the chair of the Journal of Punjab Studies and author of Buddhists, Hindus, and Sikhs in America, A Short History. And also joining us was Amish Shah, who's an expert on medieval and modern Sikh literature, and she's a visiting scholar at the University of California, Santa Barbara, and has taught at Rutgers University. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon and assistant producers Michelle Menas and Christian Vasquez. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.